So could you just tell me about how Penrith Beekeepers came to be at Acorn Bank?
Yes, we were looking for a site for a training apiary and investigated various possibilities around the local area. And one of our trustees, John Innerdale, has had a very long association with Acorn Bank. His son, Mike Innerdale, is one of National Trust's regional directors nowadays. And so actually with their advice and support, we then did consider and eventually decide on Acorn Bank. Reasons for that being mainly because of the access to some wonderful plants in that medical garden that's there just around the site of the apiary, and also the fact that we could talk to visitors, so visitors could learn more about bees. So one of our aims is to broaden out the education of the general public, and this is a very public place. So for all sorts of reasons, it seemed a very ideal solution.
And has it worked out well? Is it a good place?
It is a good place, isn't it? I mean, we do get a lot of visitors to Acorn Bank who are very interested in the bees, and some of them we do get to put a bee suit on and have a look round. Yeah, so very good. I mean, the disadvantages are it's a long way to carry everything. We had to, when we were setting the site up, we built a structure to cover the bees over and a decking to put the hives on. So all that had to be carried through the garden, so there's no easy access. And when the gates are shut, we have to walk round in the field past electric fences and things, but otherwise a good site.
It benefits both the bees and the orchard, because we're in the corner of an orchard. So I think there's a lot of people come into the orchard and always ask the question, do the bees go on the up? But yes, so they're getting their food and everything, and probably we don't need to feed them quite as much. Mm-hmm. So it works both ways.
And how long have you been here?
It's 10 years since we were fully established as an apiary. We actually started in 2013 with just the decking and a couple of beehives, and then we had to raise external funding to fund the structure. And it was officially opened in May, I think, 2014. So we have just... We didn't celebrate, actually. We should have done, shouldn't we?
Had we should have done.
Yes.
And the shed, we got funding for a nice shed.
And the funding we raised for the shed, so that was also put alongside and had to be, again, taken up there, didn't it? Delivered and put up by a company did that for us. So, yes, so it's 10 years since we've been fully operational as an apiary. Yeah.
And how many hives have you at the moment?
So we have four, do we, at the moment?
Four at the moment, and two different systems, so people can get used to two different hives. So we have a WBC hive, which is what people think look like a beehive, and some national hives, which are square boxes, really. So
we had to take care when we set off to make sure we got bees of a good temperament, because they obviously can't be very angry bees. I mean, we've had one or two issues, haven't we, since, but...
We have to deal with it. We can't have angry bees in a public place like that, really, so...
Yeah. And what are the best things about being on this site, do you think?
The food source for the bees.
Yeah.
Particularly,
it's absolutely,
I think,
abundant, isn't it? And it's abundant for most of the year when they need it, isn't it?
Yes, I mean, they've got raspberries there, they've got the apples there, haven't they? And then the late raspberries, I think, we've got, so...
What sort of things do they forage on from, you know, spring to autumn?
It's a range of flowers. So we've got all the flowers in the medicine garden and all around in the flower beds, haven't we? And the fruit crops and the apple trees, of course. Mm. Although bumblebees are more active on apple trees, aren't they? Apple blossom earlier on in the season, but our bees do go on there as well. So there's a full range for them here. And the National Trust has established a meadow with meadow grassland and meadow flowers not very far from here as well. So the bees will fly for about 3 miles to get the forage that they want. So that, again, is within their scope to go there.
And plenty of hedgerows, natural hedgerows still round about.
Yes.
Plenty of grass, uncultivated grassland.
Tree blossom, isn't there?
Yes, dandelions early on.
Mm-hmm. And lots of ivy.
And ivy later on, yes.
Have the gardens planted anything especially for the bees?
Last year, I think Heather has continued, they put some troughs down the centre of the grassland going up towards the slope, up towards the apiary, didn't they? And they planted them all out with wildflowers. That was a beautiful display. Mm. So I think they found that was very successful. And again, visitors could see these are wildflowers, and we could actually get some wildflowers in quite a small patch in our own gardens. Because that's the other message we're trying to get across to people is, what could you do in your own environment to support bees of all sorts, really? And even just leaving a small wild area in your garden can attract a lot of bees if you can plant out the right things.
Yeah. What's the most popular plant, the bees that you see covered in there?
Well, Richard's mentioned dandelions in the spring.
Really like dandelions.
They need dandelions, don't they?
And as long as the farmer doesn't plant rapeseed oil too quickly, because
Oh, yes.
It's a bit of a natural attraction for the bees to go zooming off for the yellow flowers.
Yeah, we don't really have any rapeseed.
No, you could just
it.
See some in the distance
yeah.
a couple of years ago. Because it's very, I don't particularly like it.
No.
It's very difficult to get any honey off. It crystallises. So, but the orchard's there and it's on their doorstep, so hopefully they'll go back there and get what they need.
Yeah. Have you seen any changes in, obviously with bees, you've got, we talked about the Asian hornet and things. Have you seen any changes in the 10 years you've been here with the sort of the insect variety, good or bad?
We have some years when wasps are a real problem, and obviously they're attracted to the apples. We've had wasps nesting just up in the porch area of the shed, haven't we? And then you get a year, as we've had this year, with hardly any wasps at all. And I think that's a common finding this year. Insect numbers per se are down right across the country, wasps in particular. And that's of concern, because wasps do a very valuable job. We don't like them with our bees, because they invade the beehives if we're not careful in the autumn to get after the sweet stuff. But they do a very valuable job in gardens and for us. And, you know, we have concerns, don't we, about...
I mean, I think we haven't been here long enough to establish a trend, have we, really?
Mm.
So it's up and down each year with weather and different insects. And
we certainly had a very difficult season this year at the beginning, didn't we? It was so wet. Bees can't get out when it's wet, really. Can't do much at all. So then we are feeding them artificial food, syrup and then fondant, which, you know, we don't want them to have particularly, because we want them to have the natural stuff. But if the weather's against them, that's the way to keep them alive, is to feed them, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah, some years we've had a very good spring and then the weather's gone terrible, hasn't it? Downhill.
Yeah. Often in
sort of May, June.
Yeah. Well, you expect Cumbria to be wet, don't you, at some point? I think traditionally it's July and August are the wettest months, aren't they? But we've had some times when it's really extended beyond that, hasn't it? Or started earlier. And that's why we have to be very careful about the strain of bees that we bring up here. We encourage our beekeepers to develop the strain of bees from the local bee stock. There's a lot of beekeepers that will find easy answers to shortages of bees by just buying them off the shelf, and they've been imported from Italy or just these European strains, and they can't cope with the damp climate up here. We need hardier bees, don't we?
We do.
Yeah.
We don't get a massive honey crop because we have apiary visits every 2 weeks in the summer, but we're checking the bees every week, and there's often people come every week, so the bees are disturbed more than there might be otherwise, so we don't get a large honey crop, do we?
You have training up here and you obviously have a lot of interest from the public. What sort of questions do the public come up? What do they want to find out from you?
Are they doing well is usually the first question, and then it leads from there. So, because a lot of people, we've got some posters there that the public can read, but a lot of times they don't really understand, and they don't know how many queens are in a hive and how many. So it's just nice, and then to be honest, they're there for such a long time. And you're trying to encourage them to either plant their gardens or something, or there's a lot of interest comes from people who are thinking of beekeeping. The first thing we say is just go to an association that and get some experience, because it's quite scary once you've, even though you've trained for such a long time or you've had courses and things, the first time you get bees, it's you're responsible for 30,000 insects in a box, so you've got to be a bit more responsible and know what you're doing. So
are there any common misconceptions that the public have about bees?
Well, they don't know the difference between bees and wasps, so that's one that we usually try.
Oh, yes.
Yes, yeah. So that's a big one, actually, because it's so common even now for people to want to have a swarm taken away, you know, or whatever's happening in their garden. They bring in a beekeeper and it's not bees at all, you know. So, yeah, so there's a lot of education that we do, isn't it, from that perspective. It's just what is a bee and what is not. And there are other types of bees, you know. So we can't forget our solitary bees and our bumblebees. So we try to do quite a broad bit of education in the chats to them, don't we?
If we can, yes.
If we can.
A common question is, how many bees are there in a beehive? That's quite common, isn't it?
Yes.
And
are they wide-eyed when they realise how many bees are actually in there.
Yes.
So, but a lot of people don't know. They think they just go out to sting, you know, and it's difficult to try and educate them. And then sometimes we can find a drone which obviously doesn't sting, and we'll take one out, and you can put it in a person's hand and they're still thinking. But they change their attitude then, that it's not there to cause damage.
It's particularly useful for very new beekeepers. The ideal is someone who is going to keep bees but hasn't started yet, so to join our association, they come along to the apiary on a Sunday afternoon, and so they can look in a hive and see what's what, and they can learn a lot just by what we're doing, inspecting the bees
and I think that's really valuable. We worry that our introductory course possibly comes a bit late in the season. We're dependent on somebody else who's very expert coming in to do it for us, so we have to fit in with her schedule. But actually, it works well if the people who've signed up for an introductory course have already been up to Acorn Bank and had that little bit of a taster experience. Then they come on the introductory course and it just helps them to feel that they know a little bit, you know, and they have made up their mind that they're not so nervous, that they will be able to go through with it. And then there's time after that course is over for them to come back again before the season finishes. Shadow another beekeeper. We have bee buddies, and that's what we try to set up for them. And then perhaps make a decision the following year that they'll have bees of their own. We do try to say to beekeepers, don't jump in too quickly. It's very often the case, isn't it? Somebody's read about something, or someone's given them a voucher or something, and whoop, they come along and they say, I've got my bee suit, and what's more, the bees are being delivered next week. And then very often they're the person that we are struggling to support because they've gone in too quickly too. So I tend to say, bees don't know that you're interested in becoming a beekeeper. Just wait and see. You don't need to jump in too quick. Yeah.
We usually let them come in and then say, would you like to handle these bees, but we'll be here if you get nervous or whatever, and then you can just point things out when they're doing it, and you can usually see them with a smile on their face after that. Yeah, you've got a beekeeper there of some sort, and then they can we can actually then produce small nucleus for them, because we do have problems with, well, not problems, but they will produce queen cells, so you get lots of queen cells, and from there we can make a small colony of bees that our members could eventually take, and hopefully they'll gain the knowledge then that they can actually handle these. It's a small colony, so I'm not sure, maybe 10,000 in a small nucleus, which is enough to start with, I think. It's not too scary, so we can provide that for them. We've got that. Mm. Depending on the season and the year, we've not had too many this year. Mm. So.
And also there's a possibility of leaving the nucleus on the apiary site, and then they can look after it, but we can be there as well, so until it's big enough to go in a hive, so depending on the time of year.
Getting that support early on is really important, isn't it?
I think so. I think it's that confidence building from the start that's really so important. If you don't get that, it's very difficult to backtrack, isn't it, and build that up later.
Going back to what you said about the insects and things, the sort of decline of insects, do you know what the reason for that is?
Very boring, but it'll be climate change. Yeah. Generally speaking, it is climate change. Things are not coming into flower and they're not growing at the right time, or there's too much rain or something. Underneath it, fundamentally, I think it is climate change. Would you agree?
I think it's too early to say, really.
Yes,
I mean, things vary year to year anyway, don't they? So,
but there is and of course, all the intensive farming, insecticides is another big issue, isn't it, for everybody? So, lack of meadowland. So we're not building the environments for insects to survive.
But I think we are very lucky living in this area with generally plenty of insects, plenty of hedgerows, plenty of grassland.
Compared to other places.
Yes, and no monoculture or very few monoculture crops and hedges ripped out.
And how important is a water source for bees?
They do need water, and at times bees have their own messaging service within the hive, and they will just send the foraging bees out for water. So water needs to be close by, so having a water source here is important. We do have a water vat, don't we, up by the shed, which collects a little bit of water at the top, but no doubt they do go to the stream, don't they?
I think generally in Cumbria there is plenty of water, isn't there, everywhere. Plenty of puddles, plenty of wet leaves.
You find them on the soil,
gravel,
and the dirty puddles and things, rather than you
moss.
They
don't always drink the water you would put out for them, would they?
How do they take water back to the hive then?
It's in their honey stomachs, so that's a part of their body where they would be carrying the nectar. So if they haven't been told they've got to get nectar and they've got to get water instead, they're carrying it in there and then they're transferring it into the hive. Amongst the bees when they get back. It's a cooling mechanism as well, isn't it, in the hive, having the water come in. So yes, they do need a water source. In fact, even in the winter they need a water source.
Do you think the bees go down to the riverbank?
They probably do. They won't be going where the water is really rushing through, will they? It'll be in places where there's puddles and there's areas where they can perch and then take the water in. So yes, around the riverbank.
They'll forage on whatever happens to be around. So people will ask us, what kind of honey is it? And it's foraged honey from around here. It's wildflowers, it's everything. You can't actually specifically say it's apple blossom honey because they choose where they want to go.
They particularly like Himalayan balsam in riverbanks. And because the bees get coated in pollen. They have a big stripe on the backs, don't they, when they've been in Himalayan balsam.
Ghost bees.
So I don't know where it is near here, but it's around somewhere. I suspect they'll travel quite a long way for it.
For the people who don't like Himalayan balsam, that's
it is an invasive species.
Very
invasive,
isn't it?
We don't like it for the river life and so on, but I have to say
it produces a lot
of pollen and nectar. The bees absolutely love it.
If you notice more of that around the area than it used to be.
Well, where I keep my bees at Greystoke, yes, it's very prolific. Yes, and I suspect it's up here, isn't it? Unless they're clearing
it.
It
must be somewhere,
yes.
It's not necessarily obvious where it is, but they find it.
What's the pollen look like when you...
White.
So they are
ghost bees.
They're
absolutely covered in it, aren't they? It's a big flower, isn't it? And they crawl inside the flower.
It's really good. I mean, I'm always at a conflict because I like the bees to have an easy source of food there, and I volunteer at another National Trust, and you've got to grab all the Himalayan balsam out, and I'm like, no. it's very difficult when you're a beekeeper. You know it's causing a problem, but you've also got an immediate food source that they love. So, yeah.
Leave a secret clump.
Well, try and take it out once before the seed pods get there, but you can't do that because they produce seed pods at all sorts of different times. So it's so
very,
yeah. I'm always on this conflict.
Yes.
Perhaps I'll do another job for the property rather than
filling out the beloved balsam. But do you think that the honey produced here? I know you don't get an awful lot. Has it got a particular taste?
I wouldn't say it has a particular taste, but it's a very popular taste. People say it's absolutely lovely, but it will differ every year, won't it? you know, because the flowers are coming at different times and different intensity, but it's usually very good.
But even two beekeepers who live quite close together will produce different tasting honeys, won't they?
Mm-hmm.
It is,
mm-hmm.
it
yeah,
is unique each year
and the bees
from
bees
each location.
Going. Yeah, because each hive can, well, a bee's found a particular source, so off the bees
yeah.
go to that one, and the hive next door might have found a source somewhere
but
else.
We don't take honey off except in late summer, so we don't have any spring honey. We take it off probably in August, do we? Towards
yeah.
the end of August.
We just don't get spring honey.
No.
It's you get the publications and the magazines that say, take your spring honey off now, and we just laugh because we're in Cumbria and there's just no chance.
Yeah.
We're lucky if we do get it in July time, so...
I'm assuming you love coming up here and you do like it. What do you like about Acorn Bank, and what sort of does it, what do you feel when you come up here?
There's a sense of tranquility up here, because I think people are coming here to enjoy the gardens, and we're not impacted with so many visitors all at once, are we? It's a much more gentle pace up here. There is a sense of just leaving the rest of the world behind for a bit. This is a lovely place to come
to. It's a reasonably big site, isn't it, close to the house? So, yes, there's not too many people in a small area generally.
Mm-hmm.
And the trees are very nice, aren't they? All the fruit trees.
Yes, it is just lovely, really.
And when will the sort of busy time start again for the bees and for you?
Well, we're keeping an eye on them now, you know, we're sort of checking on the food source, because that's what you need to do, and hopefully watch that they're not getting damp, which is a problem here. They will start to produce more bees sort of early on in the season, and again that's another time when they could want feeding again. And then you start to get to the swarm season, so then you do need to watch carefully, because you don't want to lose your bees, or go and collect them from the trees, which is quite useful if they do happen to go into the orchard here, because they're quite small trees, so we can't retrieve them, but we try not to have a swarms at all. There are preventative measures that you can take, but occasionally they will hide a queen cell and then they will decide to go off and you don't even realise, but yeah.
Have you had to collect swarms from the orchard?
We have collected a few, haven't we? Conveniently, we've had one or two on a Sunday afternoon and there have been lots of people here, so as part of the experience for new beekeepers has been collecting a swarm.
Yeah, the public have been quite interested
public,
at that
yes.
point, because they're quite calm when they're in a swarm and they don't realise what a swarm looks like and how big it can be, so yeah, it's quite novelty when that happens. Not that we want it to happen,
no, but it,
so
does sometimes,
it does sometimes.
What would you like to see the future of beekeeping at Acorn Bank or beekeeping in generally?
I think what I feel we would really appreciate, because it's just something that we can't do here very easily, if in some form or other we could have a training room that would be adequate for training people. It would be lovely to do our courses up here, wouldn't it? We tried it in the very early days, but the use of the different rooms has changed over time. And we have that drawing room space downstairs, but it is considered to be part of the historical part of the house. So there isn't that feeling we can use that space, and it's just something that I think it's a pity that we can't do more on site. So what we do for the training is we use where I keep my bees, which is at Greystoke, where there are facilities there's the village hall very close to where we have our apiary there, and so we use that. So it's just that it would be lovely to do things a lot more in-house here, but at the moment there's just not that facility, and I don't know whether it's now in the longer term plans. It's just one of those things that hasn't happened in our favour, has it, from that point of view? Yeah.
I mean, a live webcam would be very nice, showing somewhere in the house or in the cafe.
That's again in our plans, but the signal is very difficult here. So what's holding that up is getting an adequate signal that would then make that work. So we could have some sort of screen up in the cafe, and people, while they're having their cups of tea, could see what's actually happening up at the apiary.
And could watch us looking through the hives. And
yeah.
The
so that is
really interesting.
Yeah, it is. It's just not... It's not because there's other issues to do with the site without the
yeah, the mobile signal's not great, is it?
Signals and things.
No.
That's what's holding all that up, really.
Mm.
So it's an aspiration, but it's just not being able to come to fruition in the way that we would like.
And if you had a message to the public visiting, and what would it be in terms of sort of helping bees, helping insects, helping wildlife?
Come and have a look where we are and have a look at the posters we've got up, and the questions will come from those posters. And if we can help them to understand the sort of nature around and how the bees are, what their bees need, I think it's a good educational sort of process.
I think people can help bees so much and insects so much in doing very simple things. We've talked about this with what they plant in their garden. But if you haven't got a garden, you've perhaps got a windowsill and a window box. So, you know, that's something very small that you could do just to help nature along. And then, of course, sadly, the message that we keep on putting out now is look out for the Asian hornet. Make sure you report it, as we're desperate to keep that under control, because otherwise our bees are going to disappear very quickly, along with a lot of other pollinators.
So it's a worry,
yeah, it is a real worry.
Yeah.
But it's what we focus on now. We have a scheme when we come up for our training at the apiary, when it's open, that one of us will stand further down the slope, A, to warn people about not going too close if the bees are out and active and been disturbed, but also use it as an opportunity to talk about Asian hornet to the general public. So we're doing that a lot more proactively now, aren't we, than we used to do. Yeah. I know that one of the things we also try to do is we work with other groups to make people aware of the different sorts of bees. I mean, this is a wonderful site for bumblebees, isn't it? And people can be aware of that as well. So again, we've started to open up with a course, taster course, that we experimented with last year, where, yes, they learn about honeybees, but they also learn about other types of bees as well and can see them on site. So, you know, it's part of our job, I think, to do that, isn't it?
You often get calls to collect swarms, because we can be on a swarm collectors register, and I think most of mine were for bumbles. We do ask them now to produce a photograph, because I've dealt with bumbles just because of the fact I've got a suit on and it was in a particular place and the horses were getting stung, etc. But it's not anything we would normally do. But people don't realise, and you're trying to eradicate them, and they're going to go. It's like they're in walls and things, as you say. But there's no real need to do that, and I think that's part of the education as well. You don't
leave
need to get rid of them. Yeah, they will go their own course, and they're not going to do you any harm. So,
but it's very good that so many people are interested in bees, be it honeybees or bumblebees, and they are. They like seeing them in the corner of the apiary, of the orchard.
Mm.
And
I think it's a very attractive feature, actually, for the general public at Acorn Bank, don't you?
Yes, I do. Yes.
I think it's been very effective, really. And we're pleased to be here.